Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 538. We are in the book Bahavas Leiv by Rav Moshe Hershkowitz, Six Love Languages. And we talked about the first three is TLC, which is thinking, listening, and caring, that the husband first needs to provide for the wife, primarily, and then he gets back RSP, which is respect, support, and praise. Both need both. But the husband needs to primarily give the first three, and then the wife reciprocates. And we talked about TLC, we talked about T thinking at the end of last year, and now we're going to the second one, L, which is listening. And listening equals love. Listening is essential for women. A wife's positive feeling, Rav Moshe Hershkowitz says, all his her positive feeling towards her husband rests in large part on his ability to listen to her. Listening is a very difficult art. I used to think I was a good listener. Took me a long time to realize that I was not. And it's not natural for people to listen. Usually when you listen, you think you're listening. Your mind is already thinking about what you're going to say to respond to the person. And while you're thinking that, you're not truly listening. It's an art that took me a while to start to develop. Really should give separate shiurim on the power of healthy listening and the art and the skill of listening, which seems passive, but it is not. And it really, really means suspending judgments and truly listening to every word the other person's saying and thinking along what they are experiencing without overthinking of how you're going to respond. So making her feel listened to and acknowledged is even more important to her than getting an answer. We talked about this several times before, where many men interpret their wives' communication or complaints as presenting a problem to them, and they reflexively jump to offer a solution. They're well-meaning, the husbands. They want to help, so they'll give a solution. You have a problem, here's the answer. Let me try to help you with this and that and the other thing. But that's very often not what the wife wants. She wants to vent, and she wants a sympathetic audience, which means to truly listen, to listen to your wife's ideas. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It's okay that you don't agree with them, frankly. And you could express how you feel differently after you listen. But right now, as she is talking and saying her perspective, you listen. A man who listens to the wise communications from his wife will only benefit. He brings down from the Gemara of Ein Ben Peles, and there's a Rabbi Yaakov Ben Chaviv that explains it. It's Avram Yaakov Finkel, Ein Yaakov, I think. But basically, he explains the Gemara there. Ein Ben Peles was saved by his wife. His wife said to him, why are you joining Kairach's rebellion? What difference does it make to you? No matter who wins, Moshe or Kairach, either way, you'll be just the Talmud. Ein says, what should I do? I was in the planning sessions, and I swore that I would join the rebellion. And she said to herself that Kairach's whole assembly is holy. They would not clung close to our tent if I uncover my hair. And she told Ein, stay here, I will save you. Gave him wine to drink, put him to bed inside their tent. She then sat in front of the entrance, loosened her hair. Everyone in Kairach's assembly who came to summon Ein saw her sitting there with her hair uncovered. They turned around and left because they were shocked at her immodest appearance. In the meantime, the people in Kairach's assembly were swallowed up, and Ein was saved. But he was saved because he was mekabel, her words. He allowed himself to be led and say, I'll help you with this. And he gave him wine to drink, says, you just sit and rest, go to sleep, whatever, I'll take care of it. And he understood the wisdom of his wife, and he listened to her. Hearing and listening is a key to success. Very often, a wife has been a Yesera and is sending messages from Hashem through her to the husband. And by him learning how to hear and listening properly, he'll gain tremendously. Now, like we said before, women need to provide for her husband, also all six love languages, including listening. So it applies to her as well, this ability to listen to her husband. But the idea is most people do not know how to listen effectively. He said, he brings it from Rav Shlomo Herbst, Zeche Tzadik Levracha, who was a former Rosh Yeshiva of the Bezdin, or Russia, the head of the Bezdin Ein Shmoisha. And they state that miscommunication often makes a couple feel that they're failing in their marriage or they're not compatible. And then he said as follows, the truth, however, is that making small changes in the way they speak and the way they listen to each other can make a world of difference. So remember that. Remember that when you think, oh, it's not my zivig, we're not compatible, our personalities are so different, we drive each other crazy, we'll never see eye to eye. All of this, listen to this again. The truth, however, is that making small changes in the way that they speak and listen to each other can make a world of difference. Rapam used to say this very often, and it's absolutely true. So listening well is a skill that can be learned and practiced. I do hope, as is Hashem, I need to do research. I need Siyata Shmaya to have time to do the research. I have several very good books on listening that when one learns how to do this, it could totally transform one's own marriage, totally transform the way people interact with each other. So in the TLC, so far we went through thinking and we went through listening just now. And now we're going to talk about the third one. Again, these are primarily what the women need and the husbands need to provide to them first. So the third of it, of the TLC, is caring. What is caring? Caring means sharing. And one needs to understand. He brings this point very, very well, Rav Moshe Hershkowitz, that a Jewish wife needs to feel that her husband respects her and cares about her. And a lot of it has to do with her self-sacrifice. There's a tremendous mesiras nefesh by being a Jewish woman. She sacrifices a lot of her own potential. She could study more Torah in depth in many ways. She could do tremendous things. And she limits it somewhat by the caring of her husband and the caring of her children in her home. And even if they go out to work, that they're forced to go out to work. But it limits a lot of times their inner potential from being actualized. We'll talk about that in a minute. But lemaisa, it is mesiras nefesh. It's a tremendous mesiras nefesh. And it depends on the personality of the woman. Some find motherhood and being a wife natural. And it comes, like, I wouldn't say easy because it's never easy. But that it is a natural part of who she feels and who she is. And then there are others that have deep talents and deep potential of various things. And or some are very deep thinkers and they want to learn more and study more. Or they want to practice different hobbies, of healthy hobbies, of music, design, drawing, and whatever else they do. And by the way, they should never totally throw it out the window. They need to somehow figure a way to do both. We'll talk about that in a minute. But lemaisa, the care given to the husband and children is giving up of her doing other things that she could do for herself to actualize herself. So the word matzni, he says, tznius, where tznius is derived, is to hide or to repress or to conceal. And Rashi in Saita, the Gemara Saita, compares the word tzaddik to the word tzenua. And that is the woman's whole approach in Avodas Hashem. She realizes Hashem wants her to be a wife and a mother for the greater good of her family and of Klal Yisrael. And just like in tzenius, physically, she covers herself physically to protect her kedusha of herself and of her marriage. She's also limiting an expression of intellectual and spiritual potential in order to be that pillar of her family. Now, in many cultures and circles of from Yiddishkeit, Lubavitch being one of them, others being others in some Litvish circles as well, where Rabbanim encourage and Frankly, it's the healthiest approach. They encourage women who have individual talents to express those talents. So, for example, if they have inherently in them the ability to sing beautifully, music, play an instrument, they should learn how to do so. They could figure out a way to balance it, never at the expense of the family and children, but to figure it out a way. And if a wife has the resources or time, somehow, despite the fact that she's so busy, to learn, she wants to play guitar, and she has a natural affinity to it. And she plays guitar, and she could sing as she's playing with the guitar, and she could sing for other women, have chaburis of women singing together. She could use that talent within the framework of her home and sing when it's only her husband there and her own children. She could perform for them and sing songs and make up songs and compose songs and entertain at the same time, be mechanech the children with that gift that she has. Or whether it's drawing, whether it's storytelling, whether it's whatever it is, baking a special way or cooking special types of things and so on and so forth. All of these talents are meant to be expressed and actualized. There's a way to balance it. Now, if you take your career at the expense of your husband and children, that's problematic. But if you take your career, meaning your inborn talents and abilities that complements with your husband and your children, that is the most beautiful thing. If a woman is intellectual, has deep concepts and minds, and wants to learn Musar or Chayvus Halavos or other deep things, and she learns a way to give that over to her husband and her children in a not teachy, preachy type of way, but in an influential, positive way, that's a beautiful thing. So Rabbi Hirschquist's point is very, very true, because there's always a sacrifice. And by a woman, it's especially true, where being a tzinua and being hidden, a lot of her talents are either lay dormant or are not actualized at the mesiras nefesh of taking care of a husband and of children and of family. But like I just said right now, which is a very important yesod to do, is for a woman not to ignore the talents, but to channel them. Meaning, if there's no time to practice something right now, you may have to delay it, but at some point to actualize it. Actualize your talents and channel it. That family always has the first priority. And you learn how to balance life correct, but you use your talents. And use your talents in a way that your husband and your children will appreciate them. So the idea is to show how he cares in the caring. So I'm going to list off bullet points that Rabbi Hirschquist says in his book. Listen carefully. To be attentive versus self-absorbed. To give compliments versus criticism. To work with her versus against her. To validate her needs versus ignoring them. To ask her for input versus excluding her. To make her his priority versus ignoring her. To show interest in her versus not checking up on her. Because when she feels appreciated, she will find the motivation and the strength to continue giving wholeheartedly to her husband and her family. And she will reciprocate those good feelings with that emotional fuel that he needs. Bracha v'atzlacha.